This is WWER 88.1 Colonial Beach Community Radio. And I'm your host, Eric, with another Talk of the Town. And I am here with Mario Haggerty. Mario, how you doing?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good. Thank you for appearing on Talk of the Town.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay. You know, everybody has a Colonial Beach story. What's yours? Where do you start? Where were you born?
I was born in a little city called Pasadena, California.
That's not a little city. I've heard of that. Oh, West Coast guy.
West Coast, yeah. Grew up in California.
California, do you surf?
I don't.
Okay. You always have to ask everybody.
Well, I don't know the first thing about surfing.
Okay. So you're out in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to school out there?
Yeah. I went to John Muir High School.
Okay.
And then I did my first 2 years of college at Pasadena City College.
Okay.
And eventually, about 1996... October of 1996, I joined the Navy.
Oh, okay. So you're a veteran. You're Navy.
I am a veteran. Yep.
Okay. I did not serve, but my grandfather was Navy World War II. My father was Army. My sister was Air Force.
Okay.
So do you have military in your family too?
I have an uncle that served in the Navy.
Okay.
I don't think nobody in my immediate family, none of my parents or grandparents.
So where'd you go? Where'd you go in the Navy?
Oh, everywhere. I started off in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. That's where I was stationed.
Oh, my gosh.
USS Reuben James. And I think that ship took me just about everywhere. We started off on a Western Pacific deployment.
Okay.
Which took us to places in Asia, in the Asia Pacific, and then in
Korea.
We didn't go to Korea that year.
Okay.
But we ended up making one stop because, you know, we're busy.
Sure.
We made a stop in Thailand, and then we went into the Persian Gulf, and we patrolled there for several months, and then out of the Persian Gulf and into Australia, which was a lot of fun. We went to Perth.
Okay.
And then we
went
to the other side, and we went to Sydney.
Okay.
We stopped at Fiji.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun. And then we came back home, and then the next deployment was really fun as well. One of the reasons why I stayed in, because I only meant to do 4 years. So we went to South America.
Oh.
We stopped first in Acapulco.
Sure.
Then we went into Panama.
Okay.
Ecuador, Peru.
Sure.
Chile. We went to 4 places in Chile. And one of my favorite places was Easter Island.
Oh, okay. I've been to some of these places you've mentioned, not Easter Island.
No, Easter Island was a lot of fun.
That's with all the heads.
That's with all the big stone heads, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So you saw the world.
Yeah, just about. My last deployment was just all of Asia. Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong.
Wow.
All the places that you can possibly think of in Asia. We were doing exercises with Asian navies.
Oh, wow. Sounds like you loved it.
Yeah. It was fun then. First 5 years, yeah.
Were you on a destroyer or on a...
I was on a frigate. They call it a fast frigate, an Oliver Hazard Perry class frigate.
Wow. Okay. All right, we have listeners that are in Dahlgren. I think they know what that is, right?
They do.
Yeah, okay.
They don't know.
How many years did you spend in the Navy?
22 years.
20? You went in for 4, thinking you were going
to
get out.
And 22 years later, I was like, I guess I'll get out now.
22 years later,
yeah.
I'll be doggone.
Mm-hmm. And we were stationed in Japan for 13 of those years.
Oh, how'd you like Japan?
Loved it.
Yeah, everyone says so.
Yeah, I've
never been.
Yeah, I mean, I stayed so long, they say, okay, you can't stay anymore. You gotta go. So then we got stationed for another 3 years, maybe 3.5 years, in Naples, Italy, and we stopped here at our Aegis Training and Readiness Center.
Where's that?
That's over in Dahlgren.
Okay.
Yeah, they it's a school that teaches students how to operate and maintain the Aegis weapon system.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so then you went there and...
I retired from there.
You retired from there.
Yeah, and
you lived on base?
2019. No, we actually lived in the house that we have now. We built that house rather early when we got here.
So that was my question, is that how do you go from all over the world in a frigate, seeing the world in the Navy, and how do you end up at Colonial Beach?
That's how? Yeah.
Okay, so you go to Dahlgren...
So we go to Dahlgren. I needed to find a place to live, and there was a house that was for lease, and it was only a 9-month lease, which was perfect because I intended to buy a house while I was here.
Okay.
And so we had the house over in Placid Bay built by, I can't remember the name of the company.
So you're leasing a house, and you're having a house built.
We're having a house built.
I see.
And once it was built, we closed on it, yep, and then we moved in, and we've been there ever since.
What year is this?
We got here in 2015. As 2016 when we moved in the house.
2016. So almost 10 years ago.
Yeah,
10 years. And when we say we, who's we?
Me and my family, wife, daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. 2015, and you come here. Okay, so how do you go from Navy? And the reason we're in Rio's Custom Creations.
Yes.
And I know that because I was here doing the ribbon cutting.
That's right.
Which was another celebration of your store. How do you go from that to making custom shirts, custom hats, making all types of things for businesses and everything else here? How do you go from the Navy to something like this?
Well, first of all, when I got out of the Navy, I went straight to work for a DOD contractor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In Dogden.
Sure.
Yeah. Still okay. Working in the same thing that I was doing when I was in the Navy.
Oh, I
see. System.
Weapon systems. Okay.
Yeah. I decided, a couple of things. One, my sister down in Florida started making t-shirts, and she was posting them on the internet.
Oh. So your sister's still in Florida?
She's still there.
Where is she?
What's the place right across from Tampa?
St.
Petersburg.
Okay. I have family in St. Petersburg.
Yes.
I have friends in Tampa.
Yeah. So she's down in St. Petersburg making these t-shirts. And I told her, I said, hey, Robin, you got to sell these. She said, oh, yeah, I'm going to sell them.
Okay.
I said, so you just start your own business, like t-shirt businesses, people who make t-shirts.
Sure.
She said, I'll do it. And then, you know, she started posting more. And then finally I said, you know, I gave up on her. I said, I'll help you. And then
I see.
So I started buying my own stuff, and then I started, you know, learning how to make these t-shirts with just a Cricut.
Wow.
And a heat press. I bought a Cricut and a heat press, and I started making these t-shirts.
What's a Cricut?
A Cricut is a cutter. It cuts out the design that you want, and you weed out the part of the design that you don't want, and it makes sort of a heat transfer vinyl image that you want to have pressed onto the t-shirt.
So you're silk screening?
It's not silk screening. It's heat transfer vinyl. The vinyl gets pressed directly onto the garment.
Through the Cricut, which is like
a cutter. It cuts. So you get this sheet of vinyl, right?
Vinyl.
You put it into the Cricut, you know, and you have this design space that talks to the Cricut from your computer. And the Cricut says, oh, this is what you want. So it cuts out that design.
So it's a stencil.
Pretty much.
So the Cricut makes the stencil out of vinyl.
Well, yes, but you don't do anything with the stencil. You take the actual design and you press it onto the shirt.
I see.
With a heat press.
With a heat press.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. And that started off, you know, fun, but very slow.
Yeah.
So then I decided to say.
And you have the job still.
I'm still working over in Dogon, you know, right. and I'm doing this out of my spare bedroom, by the way.
Over at Placid Bay.
In Placid Bay, yeah.
So you're part-time, making a couple shirts, why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
This looks like fun. Like, my sister was having fun.
Right,
but
I wanted
somebody else to pay for my hobby, right?
Right.
For my new hobby, so I would sell these t-shirts.
Okay. What year is this?
I want to say 2021.
2021. Okay, so you move in, so about a couple years in the house,
mm-hmm.
And you decide, hey, sister's doing it, sounds fun, I'm going to do a couple, why not? What were some of the first designs you made?
Well, one of the things that I used to be really obsessed with, probably still am,
okay,
are collective nouns.
Collective nouns?
Yes. So each animal, each group of animal has their own group name, like a pride of lion.
A pride of lion.
Pride of lion.
Murder of crows.
Murder of crows. Yep, there's one. A coalition of cheetah.
A coalition of cheetahs.
An embarrassment of panda.
Embarrassment of panda.
Yeah. Or a flamboyant of flamingo. So each of them had their own. So yeah. I wanted to go ahead and make t-shirts because that was just a concept that I came up with.
Right.
And I said, well, maybe if I make t-shirts, people will be fascinated by the collective nouns and want to wear them.
Okay. So where's your love for language come from? Because that's a language issue, collective nouns, and it's kind of funny. What's about the baboons? Or that's a funny one.
I used to know that. I don't know.
It's not a gang of baboons.
Probably a troop.
A troop of baboons, maybe. So
yeah. Probably a troop. Most primates are troops.
What are dogs? A pack.
Pack.
A pack of dogs. Mm-hmm. How about cats?
A glamour.
A glamour of cats.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Or butterflies are a rabble.
Rabble?
A rabble
of butterflies.
Yeah. Or pandemonium of parrots.
A pandemonium. Who makes this stuff up?
I don't know. They're geniuses. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody over at Webster, right?
Right.
Yeah. In a committee.
Exactly.
After too many cups of coffee, they're sitting around. Hey, what do you want to call a bunch of flamingos? Yeah, flamboyant. Yeah. Look at the way they stand.
Yeah.
So you're fascinated by that. Do you do crossword puzzles?
I don't.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
It's just the collective noun.
It's just the collective nouns. I just loved collective nouns, like knowing what they were.
So that's then, the first t-shirts.
I just started making those t-shirts.
Okay.
And then I was showing the people, and you know, I put it online, and people
sure.
were like, oh yeah, that's great, but can you make me this? So they were as fascinated with collective nouns as I was.
Yeah, that so, sounds pretty
so
niche.
So my first business that I started, I actually I didn't LLC that one. I actually made that one a sole proprietor.
Okay.
Decided to start this business called Collective Collections. And nobody was interested in the Collective Collections, but they were interested in me making them something.
Yes, yes.
So I would make custom shirts for people.
Okay.
I think one of the first people that I made something for was Paw's Boutique.
I'll be doggone.
Yeah. She wanted dog hoodies.
Dog hoodies?
Yes. And before I knew I could make dog hoodies, I told her, yeah, I'll do it. I figured out how to make dog hoodies.
Okay, so you bought dog hoodies and you...
Well, she bought the dog hoodies and she gave them to me. She said, can you put the Colonial Beach High School's, you know, image on there? Their, you know, their logo on there.
So then you grab the image of the high school, put it in a Cricut.
That's the part where I had to pivot. So I realized that you can't cut that. That design is very complex, and Cricuts are not designed to cut very complex designs with multi colors, unless you want to spend a lot of time layering these colors.
I see.
So I got into the direct to film.
Direct to film. What do you mean by that?
Well, what you do is you take the image and you send it to a direct-to-film printer. The direct-to-film printer sends out a sheet of ink, and you put powder on it, and then you bake it in that oven right there. Do you see there?
Okay.
And that powder that's baked in that oven becomes the adhesive, and it's pressed onto the t-shirt.
Okay, so where is the ink to
so printer? See what says Beach Please?
Yes.
And see the butterfly there?
Yes.
And the butterfly over there, and then the little cat that thinks it's a tiger.
Okay, so what we're looking at is a three separate racks of many t-shirts that Mario's made. And they're very complex, very colorful butterflies. I see just Beach Please, which is kind of a fun thing, yeah. Right? But there's many colors in it.
But you see the lady with the moon right there, right?
I see the lady with the moon.
That was
that's
done
just
on
pink.
A cricket.
That I can see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's done on a Cricut because it's only pink and black.
It's only pink and black. So pink is the first layer.
Yes.
You press that on and then you put the black layer over it and then you press that on.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
But when you have that color, that's a beautiful design there, that Beach Please. And you can't layer that. That's lots of details. And so...
So that's image to ink? Is that what you said?
Image to ink. And yeah.
Where's that machine?
Right behind you.
Okay, so
that blue and white machine.
We are in your store as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
I see many. I'm surrounded by equipment,
yeah.
And I'm looking at the image to ink printer there.
Yeah.
So you put the image in by computer,
right?
And it spits out the film,
mm-hmm.
and then you can make something very complex like that.
Yep.
That's beautiful, actually.
Yeah. So that's where I had to pivot. I started off ordering those.
And I'm not going to ask you how much that costs, but this is now an investment.
That right there was an investment, but I got a really good deal on it. On the lady, normally when you see these machines out there and people use them, and when they don't know how to use them and they don't figure out how to use them, they get frustrated and they sell them.
So you
and that's
get,
where I
you
swoop
get this
in
stuff.
And buy them.
Oh, so you're saving some money here.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, and so I bought that one. For a very decent price. I don't want to say how much, but it was
sure.
far less than what I would have bought it. And it was new. It was new. She's only used it like a few times.
Okay, so you're picking up some of this equipment by people who have good intentions, but
yeah.
they can't follow through.
Right.
So you're picking up this equipment. So you pick up that, it makes that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's a Cricut. So we're looking at a very plain pink and black shirt
right.
with a nice design.
Yep.
But if you want color, and everybody wants color on the shirts, right?
Right.
then you upgraded to this.
Right.
So when you upgraded to that, did you upgrade your business license? Did you upgrade? Were you serious now?
No. So I didn't get that.
Are you still in your bedroom?
Right. I was ordering director film transfers from somebody who had a director film printer.
And they
would just send it to me. But it got to the point where somebody would order like maybe three things. And it would be really expensive to buy three things. So I said, why don't I just buy my own printer?
Sure.
If somebody wants to buy one or two or three things,
right,
I can just print one or two or three things.
Okay.
So I did that, but that was just very recently, within the last few months that I bought that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When Dr. Karen asked for those hoodies, then I realized, I said, there's more to printing than just a Cricut on t-shirts. Yeah. And so that's when I went and got that. I mean, you know, eventually I ended up getting that.
But that was your first job locally here.
Mm. It's my first big job, yeah.
Your first big job.
Yeah. I know Cher Lee asked for some shirts. She was one of my first customers.
Who's that?
Cher Lee. She's, how could you say, who's that? Cher Lee, she's the person who came up with the Colonial Beach Community News. Redhead lady.
Oh, yes.
You have to know her.
Yes, I do.
Everybody knows her except you.
Yeah.
Now you know her.
You're right. I should, as host of the show, I should just pretend I know everybody.
Yeah, just edit that out.
Yeah, that's hilarious. No, I just, you know, I moved here about a year and a half ago. I don't know everybody yet, you know.
I can't wait till you meet everybody. It's a beautiful town with beautiful people.
It is. I love it here. Yeah, I do.
And so
I'm surrounded by machines.
Let me give you a quick tour. So you got the Crickets over there. There's two of them. The one on the bottom I bought for my daughter before I decided to go into it myself because she asked for it.
Oh, I see.
And then when I first started, when my sister told me that she uses a Cricut to make T-shirts, I said, oh, I could use a Cricut too. I mean, I have a Cricut, you know, so I can use mine. So
sure.
I tried to use that. I used that one. It worked well, but it didn't have a lot of capabilities. It didn't have the print thin cut capability, like if you wanted to make stickers and things like that.
Okay.
So I upgraded to that one that you see on the top.
I see.
And then
there's that. There's the film image. And then there's a complex looking machine over here that.
Yes. You're not going to believe what that is.
It swings around. That's an engraver.
Oh, that. Oh, no. Both of those, that blue one and that one that you just described right there, are both heat presses.
Those are heat presses. Oh, so you can press the shirts.
Mm-hmm. They're both heat presses. That was the first one I bought.
This one.
Yep, I bought that after I bought the Cricut.
That looks manual and that looks automatic.
Yeah, you can swing it around. And okay. That one right there, you just pull down.
I see.
I bought that one from a friend.
Okay.
And I bought that one new.
I see.
Yeah, that one is like an 8-in-1. You can press cups, you can press hats, and you can do everything. But I didn't want to have to keep taking things off and putting it back. So I went and got a hat press right over there, that V4 you see there.
Okay, so that's the hat press. And if we go back here, three racks of a lot of shirts. You also have shelves right here full of hats.
Yes.
I see a very nice Colonial Beach hat over there.
Yeah, wish somebody would buy one. those that you see there were embroidered. So then I pivoted again, and I bought a 15-needle.
See
it over there?
Okay.
Yeah, I bought a 15-needle embroidery machine. That's when things really start to pick up. People like embroidery.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and a friend of mine actually warned me. He said, hey, once you get that embroidery machine, it's going to get busy. And it did.
And it did.
Yeah.
Okay, what I'm looking at is a complex machine with every color that you can imagine of thread. All the threads are kind of leading into, I guess you would call it a punch or a die or...
Yeah, you could probably call those pressure foots.
Pressure foots.
Yeah, it's so imagine having to put thread all the way through and then around, and then you got to loop it around and push it through and then back up again and back down again and into the pressure foot and then into the needle. 15 needles you have to do that for. So I ended up threading that whole thing with a little help from the manufacturer. And now I have a 15-needle embroidery machine. And then, you know, somebody wants a design, every single color that they possibly want in that design I have here in the shop.
Yeah, you certainly do. I mean, that's dozens of colors.
It's 15 colors right there that's connected to the machine. But behind the machine, I still have multiple spools of thread of different colors.
Incredible.
Yeah. That's the one I was dying to tell you about.
Okay, that is this another pivot?
Actually, it was.
It was? Okay, wait, what is
okay, that? So what you see in the front there, the black one, right?
Yes.
That right there is a cricket on protein. And the one behind it is a cricket on steroids. Those are also cutters.
They
cut just like the difference between the cutter cricket. The difference between the cricket and those cutters is the cricket is only 12 inches wide. You only get 12 inches in width. That first one you get 26 inches in width, and the one behind it you get 53 inches in width.
You can make signs.
I can make signs, banners, stickers.
Oh.
So what you do is you go to this machine here.
What's that? That looks
that's
like
a large.
It's a Canon. Looks like
it's a Canon.
Maybe a film thing.
It's a large format printer. It prints
banners.
You can make banners.
Good Lord.
So I have another one coming tomorrow. It's an HP. Same size, 36 inches. It'll be here tomorrow.
But why would you buy a second one?
Because the second one's newer.
Has more features?
Has a lot more features. It's Wi-Fi. It's faster. It's much, much better.
It can do the same as that, but it's going to have more features. So you can make better banners.
No. Yeah, banners, and I can make them faster.
Can you make holes in the banners so that you can?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my word. So how much work do you do for the town now?
I haven't started making banners yet. I've been busy making t-shirts and hats and
it seems to me that every fest that we have, you know, water fest, music fest, mm-hmm. there's banners.
I did get asked by one person, I have a couple of people to make banners, but I wasn't ready to do that yet because first of all, I didn't have that yet.
I see.
But I do want to make banners. I do want to make signs. I do want to make stickers. You can make a lot of stickers with software that you can put like, say you could put like 25 images on a sheet, right? And that cutter right there, the software to that cutter right there
will cut all 25 images.
Well, it will. What it will do is it will take that image and it will contour the image so that it knows where to cut.
I see.
And so once you're done with that, you send that to the printer. The printer prints it out and then you put it in the cutter and it cuts out stickers. And all you got to do is pop the stickers out.
Oh, my word. Stickers.
Yeah, and it also makes banners. It makes signs. Makes posters. I think the first thing that I'm actually going to do is a poster for Shirley for the Playhouse.
I see.
It's going to be the first thing I do. Probably be the end of this week when I do that.
A poster for the Playhouse.
For the Playhouse. She had two posters she wants me to do. And they... She asked for posters and somebody gave it to her on her 8x11 and it didn't even fill the 8x11. She said, this isn't going to do. I said, right. I got you, Cher.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is kind of a talk of the town because this is constantly changing.
Well,
this is a constant pivot.
Well, every time I get a demand, I buy something to meet that demand.
You meet the demand.
Yeah. That right there is a Sawgrass. That is a sublimation printer. I had a demand for sublimations.
Well, right? Explain that to me.
Well, it's heat-activated ink.
Okay.
So what you do is you print out, same thing like you do everything else. You send the image to the printer.
Yes.
From software.
Yes.
It prints it out. And what it's printed out on that sheet of paper is heat-activated ink. So you take that heat-activated ink and you put it around like a tumbler or a coffee cup. And then you press it with a heat press.
Okay, so you can label things with a
printer. Yeah, with a sublimation printer. You can make tumblers, cups. You can make, if you have the right material shirts, you can make t-shirts out of them.
You can do lunch boxes.
Yeah.
So, backpacks.
And backpacks, yeah.
Good Lord. Aside from Dr. Karen over here,
mm-hmm.
Who else have you done work for in the town?
Oh, yeah. I did visors for the Ice House.
Okay, so you're printing with the hat press?
No, with the...
They had it embroidered.
They had it embroidered.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you go over there, you're going to see a variety of colors of hats with the Ice House logo on that.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. CBB.
Yeah.
Colonial Beach Brewing.
Sure.
Circa 1892.
What'd you do for Colonial Beach Brewing?
The t-shirts.
T-shirts?
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of t-shirts over there that I made.
Well, how about Circa?
I did some of their aprons. I did a t-shirt for them, and then I did their table skirts.
The table skirts?
So when they go out and do festival.
Right, they're going to be
They'll put a tablecloth over their table, and on the front you'll see the Circa 1892 logo there.
Sure.
Yeah, I did that. There's probably a lot more, but I just can't remember everything that I've done in town. Dr. Karen's scrubs.
Okay.
For her employees.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Love Bites.
Okay.
I did a lot of their t-shirts.
Do you do stuff for the school? Do you do stuff for the fire department?
Not yet. I haven't had anybody reach out to me from there.
Okay.
But I can do something for the schools. I would love to do something for the schools. Well, I can tell you this. Those hoodies that I did for Dr. Karen, I didn't charge her for those. And the reason why is because the money that she makes off of those hoodies goes back to the school.
Oh.
So she didn't get charged a penny for any of those hoodies.
Oh, so you're supporting the community that way.
Yeah, because she's using that money to support the school.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if you heard of Beach Arts Music and Mentoring.
Yeah, BAM.
BAM, yeah. I just did some of their shirts last week.
Okay.
Over the last couple of weeks, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so this is a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
If you want something on a sticker, on a label, on a any article of clothing at this point.
Yes.
And then products, cups, mugs, backpacks.
Yep.
How about a toothbrush? Can you get that small?
Probably not. You might need to go to Vistaprint for that.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I can't do ink pens. I can't do... But as soon as the demand comes to me, I'll figure out a way to find something to start making those.
Yeah. Right, right. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So are you online?
I am online. It's Rios Custom Creations.
.com?
.shop.
.shop.
Yeah. Somebody already had .com.
Oh, that's hilarious. So .shop. Are you filling orders around the country at times?
I thought that that's what I would be doing, that I would just be strictly online. But I think I have enough of a demand here.
I see.
Yeah.
But you do sell some stuff and ship it, no?
I have.
You have?
I shipped a hoodie to Detroit a few months ago, a t-shirt to California a few months ago, you know.
Okay, okay.
But sometimes, every now and then, somebody will reach out to me from some other place.
Right, right.
But I do have a store where you can actually go online and go to my store and order stuff.
I see.
What people want is, hey, Mario, can you make this, and you make it this size with these colors, and, you know.
Yeah, they want their own stuff.
They want their stuff. They want their own stuff.
And it's custom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're making anything that anybody wants. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at that. What am I looking at back there with the, looks like a flag maybe.
Yeah. That was a Sip and Stroll that Dan Wilder brought to me.
Okay. Are you involved in the Sip and Stroll?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Every second Friday we're open. We usually get DJ Flavors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to play music. Yeah. We don't get a lot of foot traffic on this little stretch right here.
Sure.
Usually what they do is they go down Washington, and then they go down Hawthorne, and then they head down Taylor Street, and then off they go. We participate in that, but we want to be able to draw people over here. So what we do is I hire a DJ, DJ Flavors, to play music. And most of the time when people come over here, they say, hey, I just wanted to see where the music was coming from.
Sure.
That's why we do it.
Sure. Do you think you get good exposure in the storefront? Because you are kind of tucked back here.
We're tucked back here, but we have ways of getting people to know where we are.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What is this address? This is
103 North Irving, and we're in space number 102.
So 102, space 103. On North Irving.
North Irving.
As we head toward?
As you're headed toward Hawthorne.
As you head toward Hawthorne.
Yep.
So from Washington.
Mm-hmm. That little cut going down there by Caldwell Banker.
Yep, Caldwell Banker behind.
Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
right, that little road there.
Right behind Sunflower.
Yep. You take that little road.
Follow it all the way down.
Follow it down, and you'll see the Potomac Renaissance, the condominiums. There's two of them.
That's right.
There's one on the Taylor side, and there's one on the Irving side.
Right.
Yeah, so we're in the Potomac Renaissance commercial space on the Irving side.
That's right. So when you come down North Irving, you can't miss it.
You can't miss it. There's dresses in the window.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. So I found it easy. I drove right straight here.
Yeah.
So you come right down North Irving, you park. It's a one-way street. So it's easy peasy.
Yep.
And you stop before you get to Hawthorne.
Yep.
And it's right here.
It's right here. Here it is.
I would invite our listeners to come inside and see, because it does kind of take your breath away. I'm looking at, looks like storage is just every single color t-shirt you ever wanted.
So that is a very new shelving idea. What we used to do is we used to have everything inside containers, and then we had a container rack that we would put the containers on. And sometimes a customer would come in and ask, hey, do you have a green tank? And I would have to dig through the look for them.
So now you can see everything.
So what we did is we built that shelf.
Sure.
And just recently a lady came in. I can't remember what she's asking for. It might have been one of the quarter gym shirts that I sell out of here.
Okay.
It's their design, by the way. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. The quarter gym shirts from the United Methodist Church is their design. They just come here for me to print them on their shirts.
Of course.
Yeah. Now I have a method where they can just walk up to the shelf and look, find their size, and pull the color that they like and style a shirt that they want.
Okay.
Out of these little cubbies.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I see. So you have everything there. Mm-hmm. It looks like you have blank hats.
Lots of blank hats. Three shelves of them.
Oh, my gosh. Under here.
This table's in the way.
But holy Moses.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. This is really quite impressive.
And those are the finished orders you see over here on the side.
What are the hours of your store?
Well, because I'm a proud member of the workforce.
Are you still at
DOD? I still work
at
Dahlgren, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So 4:30 to 8:30, Wednesday through Friday, and then 12 o'clock to 4:30 on Saturdays.
So you come before dinner or after dinner?
Sometimes I have dinner here.
I would recommend people come here before dinner or after dinner. Come here just to see this. And then if they can't make it during the week, it's Saturday.
12 o'clock to 4:30.
12 to 4:30.
Yep.
You're closed Sunday.
We're closed Sunday, but... As I tell everybody else, I'm not bound to my business hours. You can, my number's on the door here. Our email address is on the door. If you want to meet me down here, I'm going to come up with a way and time that works for them and that works for me. Well, we can meet here in the shop and you can tell me what you want.
I imagine some things that you have to create are time crunched.
A lot of times it is.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I got that machine there because I can, like a lot of the quarter gym shirts that I do, I can give them an hour turnaround.
Sure.
Yeah. As long as I have the material here, the shirts.
Okay. So if somebody needs something on a Monday and they need it in a couple of days, but they figure it out on Monday, they could call you.
Right. Provided that I have the style and color and size shirt that they, which I will likely have.
By the looks of it, you likely have it.
Yeah. But if even if I don't have it, it will take me about 3 days. Get it, and then I'll give them that quick turnaround.
We're about to start a new football season. Are you excited for the Commanders?
I am excited for the Commanders.
I can tell because your shirt.
I'm the biggest Commanders fan you ever met.
All right, so did you make that shirt?
I did not make this shirt. I bought this shirt before I even got into this business.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, what is...
That's the University of Oklahoma.
That's why I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. That's OU.
That's OU. I graduated from OU.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a Sooner.
I am a Sooner.
I'll be doggone.
Boomer.
So California to Oklahoma.
California to the Navy, and by way of the Navy, I got my master's degree at University of Oklahoma.
I mean, did you actually go to Norman, or?
No, the professors came to us.
On the Navy boat?
No. When I was in Naples, Italy, I was a staff officer in Naples, Italy, and they had a program where you can take night classes for your master's degree. And since at the time, I don't know if they do it now, but at the time, the University of Oklahoma wouldn't let you take classes online, so you had to actually take it in the classroom.
Right.
So the Navy and the University of Oklahoma figured out a way. They don't do this anymore, by the way. They canceled this about 3 or 4 years ago. But the Navy and the University of Oklahoma figured out a way to bring tenured, published professors from Norman to Naples, Italy. And they fought over that, too, because, it's a free trip to Europe.
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah. And they would come over and they would do the classes for us.
University of Maryland does a lot of credits for the military.
Yeah, but I want to make sure that I told a friend that. He told me, hey, I graduated from University of Maryland.
Sure.
But there's University of Maryland, which is in College Park.
Yes.
And then there's University of Maryland Global Campus.
Yes.
Even though it's sort of like an offspring from University of Maryland, from College Park.
It's part of the University of Maryland system, yes.
It's part of the system, but it's really, really hard to get into University of Maryland. So what they don't want to do is they don't want to like cross those, you know.
Yes.
They don't want to blur those lines. University of Maryland is a very prestigious college. And University of Maryland Global Campus, where it's a good college.
Yes.
It's not necessarily University of Maryland.
Okay, so you wanted a little bit more panache. You went for the Oklahoma.
As opposed to Global Campus. This is Oklahoma.
That's a real
Norman
thing.
Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Oklahoma, yeah.
Okay.
With their real profession.
What's your major in?
My first major was sociology, and then human relations.
Human relations.
Human relations, yeah.
So you're a Navy boy.
Mm-hmm.
22 years.
Uh-huh.
With sociology and human relations.
Yep.
And now you're making baseball hats. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's not just that. People know you because you're active in the community. You're one of the first people I met when I moved here, you know, out of everybody.
Yeah.
And part of it is because you're politically active. And
we're not just politically active, but also socially active. You know, I got involved in BAM. I got involved with I'm a board member at the Playhouse. I'm the HRA president here, the Potomac Renaissance.
Okay.
And I was a board member for about 3 years over in Placid Bay for the Placid Bay Civic Association.
So you're a board member even at the Playhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the plays?
No, I'm not in the plays.
Oh, you're not? There's no actor in you?
Mm-mm. I can remember my lines.
Okay. But are you, you're active politically?
I am active politically, yeah.
Are you running for office?
Running for House of Delegates, yeah, for the 67th District, which is the Northern Neck.
You're running for House of Delegates.
Yeah.
That's the Virginia State Assembly.
Yeah, the General Assembly, yes.
And 67th District?
Yes.
And that includes?
It includes Lancaster, Northumberland, Richmond, Westmoreland, King George, and the Port Royal sliver of Caroline County.
In Richmond?
Mm-hmm. Richmond County.
Richmond County, yes, of course.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
Let's not make that mistake.
Yes, yeah. Let's not make
Richmond
that mistake.
County, sorry about that.
Yeah. This is a huge geographical area.
Yes, six counties, covers six counties.
What's the mileage?
Ooh, I don't remember.
It's quite big.
It's pretty extensive, yeah, but it's, yeah.
And when is the election?
November 4th.
And that's the primary?
Oh, no, that's the general election.
General election. Are you in a primary?
I was in a primary, but somehow the person that was primarying me wasn't able to get on the ballot. I think she was missing some paperwork.
So you automatically won the primary?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So general election, my gosh, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, early voting starts September 19th. I would encourage everybody to vote early.
Sure.
Starting September 19th.
Where do we vote early in Colonial Beach?
Well, you vote down in Montrose at the registrar's office.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Colonial Beach for Westmoreland County, there are a number of precincts that you can vote at.
Right.
And Colonial Beach, the precinct is here at the high school.
Yes. Okay.
And in Westmoreland, there's a number of them. Where I live in Placid Bay, it's at the rescue squad.
If people wanted to learn your views politically, they wanted to know more about your campaign, how do they find out?
Hagerty House, Hagerty for House 67.org. That's Hagerty for House 67.org. And the four is FOR. You'll learn all about it there.
Okay.
And I would also encourage people to come to the Blue Crab Feast. I'm going to speak there. If you want to hear my big stomp speech that everybody's been asking me to do, you know, when they pull me to the side.
Yes.
You'll hear it there. I will be happy to speak with everybody about my views and my values. And hopefully we share the same values. Hear that at the Blue Crab Feast on the 27th of September. And if you want to figure out how to get tickets to the Blue Crab Feast, just come over to my door. I have a barcode there or a
QR code.
That's right. It's a QR code. The QR code right there, and you can just scan it and get tickets to the Blue Crab Feast.
Okay, so if you want to learn more, go. I would, instead of remember that website, this is what I would do. Mario Hagerty, That's H
A G G E R T Y.
H A G G E R T Y.
Two G's and an E.
Two G's and an E.
Yep.
For House of Delegates Colonial Beach. And I'll probably find your website if I Google that.
If you do that. Or you can just, if you type my name in, I think that's probably going to be the thing that
the
comes
first thing,
up.
First thing that
now
comes
keep
up.
Keep in mind, 2 years ago, I ran for a supervisor.
Okay.
For the 4th District of Westmoreland County.
And what happened?
I didn't win.
Okay.
I went back to making t-shirts. No. So if that comes up, ignore it. Just go to HaggertyForHouse67.org.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you get in the house, you're not folding up this important.
Oh, no. We're going to continue to do this.
Yeah, this is important. Do you have people to help you? Are you providing jobs in the community?
Right now, if someone were to walk in here and say, Mario, I know how to operate your embroidery machine, I'll prove it to you. They'll have a job. But right now, the only person who knows how to operate that embroidery machine is me and one other person in this town.
Okay.
And the DTF machine should be pretty easy to teach, but I'm the one with the software. So
yeah.
Right now,
this seems to be very proprietary.
Yeah. Right now, my daughter checks everybody out. She'll be going back to college soon. And then I have a person who just comes just to help.
Okay. So this is amazing. I think this is a talk of the town because I don't know that anybody has witnessed. Well, I'm sure people come to the store all the time. But to understand what all this equipment is, I would really recommend our listeners to come in Wednesday through Friday. You have to see this to believe it. I think the inventory is just blows my mind. Look at the shirts. Look at the threads. Look at the hats. This is really great, Mario. I'm interested in what you're going to represent Colonial Beach in the House of Delegates. So I'm going to search your name. I'm going to find out what this is. And I think everybody should.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think so, too. And if you want to go to the Crab Feast to hear a stump speech from you, come down North Irving and just stop here and scan the QR code or search the Crab Feast.
There are signs all over the town.
There are signs all over the town.
Yep.
So as we wrap up, let me ask you, you're plugged into the community. You're running for office. You have a longstanding business. I imagine you're involved with the Chamber of Commerce somehow.
Yeah, I am a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
That's right. So what's one thing you would like to see in Colonial Beach that we don't have?
I would say, and people may disagree with me, I think we should have more affordable places to live.
You know, a lot of people say that, actually.
I mean, we got people that work over at the, you know, at the riverboat. We have people that work in the breweries, people who work in the stores here.
Sure.
But they can't afford to live here. I think we should make it affordable to live here. Maybe when we build a house, we decide that this house won't be a B&B, but this house will be a place where a person can rent or own.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people are saying this. I ask this question of everybody.
Yeah.
And you're not alone on that. A lot of people do. Where do you see Colonial Beach in 3 to 5 years?
I see more opportunities, more job opportunities, more small business opportunities here.
Okay.
Just more variety of opportunities. You know, I opened this business because I felt like it was something that Colonial Beach didn't have.
That's correct. Nobody else does this.
Yes. If there's something else that other people can do.
Yeah.
HVAC, stucco for our building.
Sure. You know,
it's hard to get people out here to fix our stucco here. More opportunity, more trade, more small businesses that people need, but we don't have. That's hard to get, you know, services down here.
Sure. Okay, so 3 to 5 years, maybe more of that.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Yep.
Okay. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Mario. I'll tell you what, my last question is, what's your favorite radio station?
WWER 88.1 FM.
Thank you, Mario.